beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. President Ford is back at the White House, having predicted victory in Michigan's crucial primary on Tuesday. I'm Mike Stanley, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president ended a weekend campaign tour of his home state by train, helicopter, and automobile with the prediction he'll win the presidential primary there, saying he does not plan to lose. Between 200 and 300 people were on hand Sunday night to greet Mr. Ford when Air Force One landed at Andrews Air Force Base outside Washington. Among the welcoming delegation, six members of the cabinet, including Secretary of State Kissinger. In an interview taped for broadcast on NBC's Today Show Monday, Kissinger says he prefers to leave his post if President Ford wins the November election. Saying he doesn't want foreign policy tied to him personally, Kissinger says if a foreign policy is well designed, then it should be able to be carried out by many people. Nevada Senator Paul Laxalt, who heads the Citizens for Reagan organization, says despite criticism of the former California governor's position on the Panama Canal, Senator Barry Goldwater supports Reagan.
I think he's been with him to the extent that there's been no endorsement. And from the beginning, Barry Goldwater's indicated to me, as well as others, that in this race he's between a rock and a hard place, which he is. On the one hand, he owes an allegiance, he thinks, to an incumbent president who has been a friend of his for a long while. On the other hand, there's nobody who helped Barry Goldwater more in 1964 than Ronald Reagan. So it's a very difficult position for him. And the only difference that I've been able to discern so far has been on the Panamanian issue.
Laxalt appeared on NBC's Meet the Press. Detroit Mayor Coleman Young has refused to issue an apology demanded by Morris Udall. The Arizona congressman called on Jimmy Carter to repudiate charges by Young that Udall supports the racial doctrines of the Mormon Church. In fact, Udall broke with the church 30 years ago because it refuses to appoint black ministers. Young called Udall a crybaby and said, "This is a sideshow." Carter campaigned in Maryland Sunday, describing himself as the presidential candidate who can unite the Democratic Party and saying California Governor Edmund Brown Jr. has no chance of winning the party's presidential nomination. His only reason for campaigning, according to Carter, is the wish to wheel and deal with the delegates he may collect. Brown said in Baltimore he has a chance not only of winning in Maryland's primary Tuesday, but of winning the Democratic nomination. He said enthusiasm for him in Maryland has outstripped his expectations, and he called on voters in the state for a mandate to keep that momentum going. Assistant Agriculture Secretary Richard Bell says the Soviet Union has been told new purchases of American grain would be welcomed. A Soviet delegation is scheduled to visit Washington May 24th after predictions of another under-target Russian grain harvest. The winter wheat yield in particular was dramatically less than earlier predictions. On the contrary, says Bell, U.S. crop prospects look exceedingly good.
We have probably the best supply situation that we've had for several years. We have, particularly in the case of wheat, we have stocks left over from the 1975 crop. And we have prospects for a crop in 1976, which will be probably second to the record crop we had in 1975. And as far as prospects for corn are concerned, we had a record crop in 1975. Much of that has been used, but we think the prospects are good for another record crop in 1976.
Bell says the United States could export much more grain without generating price increases at home. Most residents are back home now in Glen Ellen and adjoining Glendale Heights, Illinois, west of Chicago. Some 900 residents were evacuated after a tank car overturned and escaping ammonia fumes posed a threat. Workers clad in rubber acid suits managed to upright the overturned tank car, pump the escaping gas into trucks, and seal off the leak. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration in Washington has announced Mexican Army troops Sunday found the wreckage of a single-engine plane that smashed into a Sierra Madre mountainside. Apparently killed instantly were two U.S. Drug Enforcement agents and a Mexican federal police officer. Now this.
Maryland, Michigan are the next stops on the campaign trail, with primary elections in both states on Tuesday. I'm Neil Strauser, anchorman for CBS News coverage on the CBS Radio Network. And as the results and trends start taking shape, we'll keep you posted throughout the evening in special reports, hourly CBS News broadcasts, and, of course, net alert interrupt bulletins when the developments warrant. Follow the primaries in Maryland and Michigan Tuesday with CBS News on the CBS Radio Network.
I'm Charles Collingwood, CBS News. On Newsbreak PM Monday through Friday over most of these CBS radio network stations, we try to explore the deeper meaning of a news event. We select a major story, issue, or development of the day and then talk about it with someone involved. A participant in the event, an authority in a particular field, or perhaps with fellow correspondents on the scene. Newsbreak PM Monday through Friday, another of the broadcast series from CBS News on most of these CBS radio network stations. Kinney County, Texas, concluded its first rattlesnake roundup Sunday with eye-popping results. The total accumulation of vipers for the three-day event, a whopping quarter of a ton. Buddy Thorne of Corpus Christi won top prize money of $65.50 for bagging the largest western diamondback rattler of the hunt. He collected $1 an inch for the snake that measured an official 65 and a half inches. That beauty weighed in at 8 pounds. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle. This is KIXI, the weather outlook. Partial clearing and decreasing chance of showers tomorrow and tomorrow night. Partly sunny on Tuesday. The highs, upper 50s, lows in the upper 40s. And currently in downtown Seattle, it's 51 degrees. Taking a look at sports, in the North American Soccer League, Miami defeated the Seattle Sounders by a score of 1-0 in overtime. In the National Hockey League Championship Playoff Series, Montreal won the Stanley Cup by defeating Philadelphia 5-3. In the NBA semifinal playoffs, Boston over Cleveland, 99-94. The Celtics lead that series 3-2. And Phoenix won their series with Golden State, 94-86. Major League Baseball in the National League, New York and Cincinnati split. Los Angeles beat Pittsburgh, St. Louis over San Francisco. Chicago down San Diego, Montreal beat Atlanta, and Philadelphia dumped Houston. In the American, Oakland over Texas, Cleveland defeated Detroit, Baltimore down the Yankees. Chicago beat Kansas City and California over Minnesota. Milwaukee defeated Boston.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. There are noises in the night. Noises that are only heard in the stillness of the night. Sighs and groans and creaks and moans. And they are made by no human voice. And they issue from no human throat. What are they? Why does the floor squeak when no one is stepping on it? Is it the house itself? Are there times when a house can become tired and restless and frightened, just like a human being? Who knows?
Russell.
Huh? Well, who's that?
It's me, Cora Jean.
Cora Jean?
Yes, Russell. Cora Jean.
But you can't be standing here.
Why not?
Because you're dead.
I'm not dead.
You are. You have to be dead. I killed you.
Are you sure you killed me?
You're dead. I hit you. Picked up the wrench.
I'm here, Russell.
And I hit you with it. And then...
See for yourself, Russ.
And then... I buried you.
Yes, Russ. What do you want me to tell you?
Our mystery drama, How Quiet the Night, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars William Redfield. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
There I was with my new Buick Skylark, and there he was, just coming out of the store with a new coffee table. I like your coffee table, I said. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank "Thank you," he said. "I like your Buick Skylark, too. I was going to buy one just like it." "Thank you," I answered. Then he suggested, "Listen, you like my coffee table and I like your Skylark. Why don't we get married?" What can I say? I guess it was love at first Buick.
It's nice to see you join us. We're glad it came to be. Nice to see you join us. Let your spirits free.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Reading is educational. Reading is exciting. Reading is fun. If you can read, you can help teach your child to read. Help your child create his own picture book. Join him or her in cutting out pictures you both like from magazines. Then paste the pictures on sheets of paper. Help arrange the pictures to form pages of different chapters. Some chapters might be called Daddy and Mommy, or Things I Like, or What I Want to Be, or Places I'd Like to Go. More than just being fun, putting the pictures where they belong will be teaching your child to organize and classify information. Listen for other new approach method, Reading Hints to Parents, furnished as a public service announcement by this radio station. For further ways you can help your child, write the New Approach Method Incorporated, Post Office Box 1303, Trenton, New Jersey, 08607.
Society, said someone or other not too long ago, is becoming terribly democratic. Why, some of the most vulgar people are in it. Yes, society has gone down in recent years. But if such things bother you, take heart. One place where society is still society, where breeding and position still matter, is in the home of Aeneas Malone, whose blood is of the most cerulean blue. And yet, Aeneas understands the implications of noblesse oblige. His daughter will marry Mr. Russell Porter, a young man of most humble origins. As a matter of fact, the party at the Malone mansion this evening is for the purpose of announcing the engagement.
My friends, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. I have a most happy announcement. My daughter, Sybil, has informed me that she is in love with Mr. Russell Porter. And I see no reason why they should not be married in the spring.
Oh, wonderful.
Congratulations, my boy.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Oh, Daddy, I'm so happy. Oh, come on, Russ. I want you to hold me in your arms. And the only way you can do it right now is to dance.
Well, now, it's simple, my dear. So many people are waiting to wish you well. Don't neglect your guests. Besides, I want to talk with Russell.
Oh, now, Daddy, you're not going to be the stern parent.
Oh, no. It's too late for that. May I borrow Russell for just a moment?
Only for a moment.
Russell?
Yes, sir.
A glass of champagne, Russell?
Oh, yes, thank you, sir.
And I'm very happy for Sybil. At first, I was, apprehensive, Russell. After all, your family...
What about my family, sir?
Well, it was one we'd never heard of.
What you're trying to say is you were afraid Sybil would be marrying beneath her station?
Precisely. I mean, don't be insulted.
Why not?
Because these prejudices of mine really do no one any harm. What really counts is the man himself. I had you investigated.
You... Now, see here...
Now, don't get into a temper about it. One day you'll have a daughter, too. Well, you come from very poor but very honest, hard-working stock. Which is what my stock was 5-6 generations ago. You're hardworking, ambitious, and sincere.
Well, thank you.
I want you to quit your job and come in with me.
Oh, no. I'm doing very well at Kennedy and Company.
Well, you do better at Aeneas Malone Incorporated.
I don't think so.
Why not?
Well, do you call all the shots? I'd be nothing but a glorified office boy.
That's true.
You...
You admit it.
Oh, yes, yes. But meanwhile, you'd learn every facet of the business.
My answer is no.
You're a fool. The business has to go to you eventually. Why not learn how to run it now?
Well, I...
Oh, I'll get on your nerves a great deal of the time. But one thought should be enough to sustain you no matter how rough the going.
And what's that?
Just keep reminding yourself, after all, I can't live forever.
Gone home.
Oh, alone at last.
May I have this dance?
What did Daddy have to say to you?
He wants to take me into business.
How wonderful.
I guess I'll just have to outlast him.
Oh, he's not really so bad, my darling.
How bad would you say he is?
Not bad at all. You see, he's... Well, he's obsolete.
Why?
Because he's a man of principle. Such people are rare these days.
Yes, I suppose so.
You're a man of principle, too. A man of deep convictions, and that's why I fell in love with you.
Ah, now the truth is coming out.
You're a man of ideals, and that's what I dreamed of. A man who can be trusted, a man of his word.
Oh, now I know why I get these headaches. My halo is on too tight.
You know what I mean.
Oh, Sybil, I'm just an ordinary guy, and I hit it lucky. It's like winning a sweepstakes ticket.
Oh, I love you so much.
And I love you, Sybil, darling. Ah, look, I have one request to make.
Anything.
I'll work for your father, but we won't live here.
Oh, of course not. We have to be on our own.
I have an apartment.
I love your apartment.
All right, then it's settled.
Oh, you see, that's a forecast of our life together. That's how quickly and completely and happily we'll solve every question that comes up. Oh. Oh, they stopped playing.
What do you mean?
The music has stopped.
What are you saying? I hear it. Oh, and it's so beautiful.
How can you hear the music? You see, they're putting away their instruments.
Oh.
You heard them playing?
Well...
Darling, do you hear things?
Sybil, this is our music. Played at our engagement party. I think I'll hear it for the rest of my life.
Hello, Russell.
Cora Jean.
Yes, Cora Jean.
Well, what are you doing here?
Didn't think I'd find you.
Well, I...
And that's why you went to New York.
No. It's just that
you were supposed to go to Chicago, remember?
Well, I couldn't find a decent job in Chicago.
Oh, then that's why you went to New York?
Yes, sure.
Why didn't you let me know?
I intended to, but...
It's been 4 months.
Cora Jean,
And now I see. You're engaged to marry someone.
Well, it...
Do you think I'm a fool?
No.
You took the money so you could go on ahead and find a job and get an apartment and send for me. And we'd be married. You never went to Chicago. You went straight to New York. You had a job all lined up, a fantastic job, and you never told me.
Look,
You were here 3 weeks, and you ran into this society girl, and now you're set for life, aren't you?
Cora Jean, I'm sorry.
You've already said that. You better find something else.
Well, it happens. You fall in love, you fall out of love. You don't control it.
No?
No. Why, it's... You could have met someone, suddenly.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, what can I tell you?
The truth.
Well, you see the truth. I'm here. I'm here in New York. And why am I here? Because I hate Benton's Corners. I hate everything it stands for. I hate small towns and small town people and small town horizons and small town attitudes.
Oh, right. I get the point.
I had to get out of there. Out of there to a place where I could become somebody, realize my potential, and so I... Well, I used you. I pretended to fall in love with you.
Well, I didn't pretend to fall in love with you.
I'm sorry.
I played for keeps.
I'm sorry.
You say you're sorry one more time, and I'll scream.
All right, you asked for it. I needed money. Money so I could get out of there. Money so I could establish myself here.
So you took mine.
I'll pay it back, Cora Jean. I'll pay it back with interest.
Oh, I see. And will that make us even?
What do you want?
Call me a cheat, a scoundrel. Whatever you call me is true, as far as you're concerned. Cora Jean, it's hard for me to say this, but it's over.
It wasn't hard for you to say it. I thought it came out rather easily.
I'll give you your money back.
I don't want the money.
What do you want?
You.
I just told you. I don't love you.
It doesn't matter. I want you whether you love me or not.
Oh, that's crazy.
I'm also going to have a baby.
What?
You want me to repeat it?
No. No, but that's impossible.
No, it isn't. Well, Russell?
Look, you can't have a baby. You should.
No.
I'll pay for it.
No. No.
You can't hold that baby as a sword over my head.
Your baby.
I'll deny it.
Oh, yes, I suppose you would. But everyone in Benton's Corners knew about you and me.
You couldn't prove a thing in a court of law.
Oh, God. Funny. I could only think of this kind of talk as something that would take place in a nightmare. I pray that's what I'm having now. A nightmare. And maybe I can wake up. And we'll be back home. And that nothing has happened.
Cora Jean, look. It's over. Now, I'm not happy about it. I'll pay whatever I'll have to.
It's your baby. He'll need his father.
How many times have I told you you could never prove that in a court of law? Oh. Hello?
Darling? Oh, is something the matter?
Oh, no. I just, nothing.
Oh, I called to see if you got home safely.
Yes, I did. Just fine.
Oh, I love you so much.
Give her my regards.
What was that?
What?
I could have sworn I heard somebody say something.
Oh, darling, now you're the one who's hearing things.
Tell me you love me.
Oh, I do.
Well, say it, Russell, darling, say it.
I do.
Go ahead and say it. It comes so easily to you.
Did I hear a voice?
A voice? No, it must be the radio.
Will I see you tomorrow?
Well, why, sure.
Are you sure that you're all right, my darling?
Oh, I'm first rate. I'm first rate, Sybil. Just, I don't know, maybe a little tired.
So am I.
Well, you get your rest.
Good night, my darling.
Good night.
Well, Russell, what are you going to do about me?
I'll see that you have all the money you need.
I told you I want you, Russell.
But it's impossible.
No, it isn't. You still haven't answered my question.
Cora Jean...
What are you going to do about me? What?
What is he going to do? He's engaged to one of the richest girls in the country, who is madly in love with him. He has an opportunity to take over one of the wealthiest corporate enterprises in the world. And suddenly, a face from the past arrives to crumble this glorious opportunity to dust. It's quite a problem. A typical problem for a second act, which I shall bring to you in just a few moments.
Cancer hasn't stopped 1.5 million Americans from living full, active lives. One of them is golf champion Gene Littler.
You really never know how many friends you have until something like this comes about. People write me now that have the same problem, and I write back to them, try to give them a little bit of a boost. And hopefully this is a help to them, and this is one reason that I want to continue on the tour and play well, because I think that I can be, in some small way, an inspiration to a lot of people that are afflicted with this disease, and I think that I can be of some help.
Gene Littler, a real champion. This is Jose Ferrer. Join him and join me in fighting cancer. Give generously to your American Cancer Society.
With a little bit of hard work, a lot of support from your family, and a lot of faith in God, why, anything's possible.
We want to wipe out cancer in your lifetime.
Hi, this is Andre Fisher with Rufus.
Today, many high school graduates who want to go to college find they can't meet the high cost of higher education. If college money is a problem for you, then I'd like to talk to you for a moment about a plan that will not only pay your tuition, but also pay you a monthly allowance while you're in school. What's the plan? It's the Naval Reserve Officers Training Corps program. If you can qualify, NROTC will pay the cost of your college tuition plus $100 monthly cash allowance. And when you graduate, you'll join the finest of America's land, sea, and air team as a Navy ensign or a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps. It's never too early to plan for a future with an exciting career. And you can start today by talking to your high school counselor or local Navy recruiter about NROTC. Call the Navy toll-free 800-841-8000.
Say that only the truly ruthless can achieve real success. To win requires an intense single-mindedness, a complete dedication to one's own interest, and a willingness to move forward regardless of what the price might be to others. All his life, Russell Porter has yearned for success. And now that it is within his grasp, we're about to find out how badly he really wants it.
What are you going to do about me, Russell?
I'm offering you a practical way out. I'm being reasonable.
Reasonable?
Look, what happened between us happened.
It never would have happened if I didn't believe you were in love with me. You lied to me.
It wasn't a lie. I meant it at the time, but time passes.
4 months?
People can change in 4 seconds.
You are going to marry me, Russ.
I keep telling you, you can't prove it.
And I keep telling you, I don't have to prove it. If I take you to court, there'll be enough publicity, enough scandal. Oh, do you think Mr. Blue-Blooded Aeneas Malone is going to hold still for
it? No, it doesn't matter. She'll stand by me. Sybil will.
Oh, I don't know the old gent, but I've seen his picture. He cut her and you off without a cent. Well, you know that's true. And there goes the whole thing. You're only after her for her money.
That's a lie.
That's all you want from a woman. That's all you wanted from me. It's just that she has more.
Okay, let's cut through it. Look, just settle for what you can get, and I'm going to be generous. After all, I do like you, Cora Jean.
Oh, really? How do you behave towards people you hate?
You can be a rich woman. You can raise the kid.
Oh, don't use the word kid.
All right. You could raise the child easily, without problems. You'd have servants. You could send him to the best schools. I'd see to it that he had the best opportunities. And as for you, you'd have money. You could move around, attract a terrific guy. You could get married to someone who would really love you. Oh, Cora Jean, the more I think about it, it's strange. I think it's all happened for the best.
You are incredible.
You mean you'd throw all this away?
I want you.
Okay. Take me back with you to Benton's Corners. Take me back to where I'll suffocate to death.
The air is like wine.
And I'll go back to my job, teaching school to ignorant, vacuous little...
When are we going home, Russ?
Are you out of your mind?
No, but you are out of yours.
Do you want to live with a man who hates you?
It's a temporary madness. It will pass.
It was the way she said it, the way she looked at me, in that calm, quiet manner of hers, that schoolteacher pose, as if I were one of her unruly students, and I saw my whole life before me. We would be together day and night, days we would teach school at Benton Corners High, where at least part of the time I could avoid her, but at night, we'd be home. Home in one of those suffocating tract houses on a suffocating half-acre plot with a suffocating mortgage. I couldn't breathe in Benton's Corners. And then, without even thinking, I knew what I was going to do. Why had I suddenly decided without even going through the thought process? Why was the answer right in my mouth before my brain even had time to formulate the question? Let's go home, Cora Jean.
What?
Well, that's what you came here for, to convince me. All right, You convinced me. It's a temporary madness. Let's go. Get your coat.
Now? This minute?
Yes. We'll get in the car, drive all night, and be back in Benton's Corners by noon tomorrow.
But don't you want to say goodbye to her?
No.
I know what it is to be left. Oh, Russell, I feel sorry for her.
It can't be helped.
But you can't just disappear.
I'll write her a letter. Come on. Let's go. If we're going.
I heard the news on the radio about the engagement. And you know what I did? I didn't say a word. No, not to anyone. I just packed an overnight bag and I walked to the bus stop and I got on and left. I don't think anyone even saw me go. Russ.
Yes?
You're not listening to a single word.
I am.
You'll be happy.
I'm happy now.
No, I mean really happy. Oh, Russ, you're really a small town boy. It's what you want.
That's right. It's what I want.
And I love you.
I love you, too.
No, you don't, Russ. Not now. Right now, you hate me. Right now, you're like a little boy who's being punished. But in a while, you'll see I'm right.
She kept on babbling, and I kept driving. I had no intention of going back to Benton's Corners. I had no desire to marry her. All I needed was a lonely, deserted stretch of road. I didn't even have to think it out. It was all in my head. It was in the books I'd read, the great classic books. An American Tragedy by Dreiser. The Red and the Black by Stendhal. I was one of their heroes. The young man whose path to success is being blocked by a woman he no longer loves and no longer wants. And there's only one thing he can do about it. Only one thing.
Here, Russ.
Oh, I'm worried about that knocking sound in the engine. I hope it's just a loose fan belt.
This is really the middle of nowhere.
Well, you might as well get out and stretch your legs.
All right.
It'll be hours before we come to a place where we can stop. Now, just let me get at that hood.
Oh, the air is so pleasant.
Yes, just what I thought. The belt's loose. I think I've got a wrench in the back.
So quiet the night. So still the stars. So silent the world below. So... You say the rest of it, Russell. Go ahead. Russell! Oh!
Yes, it was a quiet night. And she was dead. I was rather surprised at how easy it is to kill someone. How fragile. Just a few sharp blows and it's over. It was wild country. I dragged her body into the woods, dug the hole, and I buried her. And then, well, what else can I tell you? I went home. And when I got home, I began to worry. The whole thing had been done without thinking. Suppose someone had seen us. But no one had seen us. I knew everything was going to be all right. I just knew it.
Darling. Russell, darling.
Hmm? Yes, dear. What is it?
Well, first of all, shall I pour you another cup of tea?
Oh. No, thank you, dear.
Secondly, you must give me your list.
What list?
The list of people you want to invite to the wedding.
Oh, that list.
Yes, dear.
Oh, well, Sybil, I was thinking about... I don't want to invite anyone.
But this is your wedding, too.
Well, darling, my folks are all dead. I have no real friends. I haven't been here long enough to make any.
Oh, but surely back home...
Oh, I had no real friends there either. It's one of the reasons I left.
Well, there must be someone you like, someone who was kind.
Well, yes, perhaps one or two. But you see, I'm sure they'd feel awkward and out of place.
Russell, may I ask you something?
Anything.
Why did you stop teaching school?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose I wanted the adventure and the excitement of business.
Oh, I'm not so sure you do, Russell.
At heart, you're a romantic, a teacher.
You're wrong.
Well, if you ever change your mind...
Change my mind about what?
Well, about being a stockbroker in Daddy's office. If you should ever want to go back to the classroom...
Never.
Well, even if you should want to go back to Benton's Corners...
What are you saying?
Whatever you want is all right with me.
Darling, don't ever say another word about going back to... to the sticks.
Oh, but life is so peaceful, so enriching there. So quiet the night, so still the stars, so silent the world below.
No, wait, wait. What are you saying?
Oh, it's a poem.
Where? Where did you...
Oh, it's so sad. I was reading in the paper. A girl was murdered.
Oh. Murdered? Who?
Oh, I don't even remember. Oh, it's such a terrible thing. Someone had killed her and buried her body in the woods, and some hunters... Oh, I don't even want to talk about it.
What about the poem?
Oh, well, I guess the reporter was looking for human interest. It turns out that the girl was a poet.
Yes?
Well, I mean, she taught school, but she was a poet. And they printed the poem. So quiet the night, so still the stars, so silent the world below.
Dearest, I have to be going.
Oh, so soon? I thought we'd play golf.
I know, but I have things to clear up at the office.
Well, see you tonight.
Tonight and every night. All right. They found her body. Maybe I should have dug it deeper, but what's the difference? There was nothing that could tie her to me. No evidence, no proof. Right now is the crucial moment. Right now is the time to remember that I must not panic. I must be calm, relaxed, and in complete control. I have nothing to fear. Nothing. Nothing at all. Just a moment.
Evening, Russ.
Maybury. Sheriff Maybury.
Mind if I come in, Russ?
Oh, well, sure. I mean, of course. Yes, of course. Come in.
Thanks.
Sit down.
Thanks.
Well, how are you, Sheriff?
Oh, about the same. Russell, Cora Jean Buxton's been killed.
Yeah, I know. I read about it in the paper.
Oh, shame. She was a lovely girl.
Oh, yes.
Weren't you two, sort of engaged?
Well, not really. It was just one of those things.
Which things?
Well, you know how it is. I was the only single male teacher in the high school. She was the only woman teacher who was single, and we both liked each other. We certainly got along, so people thought...
Yeah, people sure did.
Well, it's like, you know, a situation seems logical, so you kind of take it for granted. I mean... So many people thought it would make sense for Cora Jean and me to get married that they honestly believed it was going to happen.
And wasn't it?
Oh, no.
Wasn't there talk Cora Jean had given you her life savings to go to New York and get established and then send for her?
I can't imagine the basis for any such talk.
Well, the fact is she did withdraw all her money from the bank the day before you left town.
Well, that doesn't mean she gave it to me.
No, I guess it don't.
Sheriff, what is it you want to see me about?
I want to talk to you about Cora Jean's murder.
Well, what would I know about it?
Why, you know more about it than anybody else in the whole world, Russell.
Why do you say that?
Because you killed her.
Plain-spoken group, these folks from Benton's Corners. When they've got something on their minds, they say it. But how does Sheriff Maybury know what exists to link our man Russell with the crime? He was careful not to leave any clues. Well, I'll give you a hint. Perhaps it's not something he left with her. It could be something she left with him. And we'll examine that when I return in just a moment with Act 3.
I live on the street with my mommy and daddy. I have a little sister, too. It's It's a lot of fun, most of the time. Except when my little sister takes my toys. She's yucky. Our family had a problem once, and Mommy and Daddy were upset with each other a lot. My mommy called the people at the Mental Health Association, and they helped us. I guess Mommy didn't know what to do, and the Mental Health Association gave us information and several places where we could go. I bet they could help anybody. Mommy said she found them in the telephone book. They were so nice. Daddy said they helped people with all kinds of problems. I bet they could help you if you needed it. I wonder if they could talk to my little sister about playing with my toys.
Your Mental Health Association. People who care. People who can make a difference.
For more than 2 years now, people have been trying to get you to slow down to 55 miles an hour. Down to the speed limit. They've told you that slowing down will save millions of gallons of gasoline. They've told you that slowing down saves thousands of lives, and they've got the figures to prove it. I think those are pretty good reasons. Some of you obviously do too, because some of you have slowed down. But an awful lot of people, for one reason or another, haven't. They seem to think the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit is something they can take or leave. It isn't. It's a law. With tickets and fines and all the rest, just like any other law. And I should know. I'm a police officer. From where I sit, there's just no way around it. The 55-mile-an-hour speed limit can do a lot of positive things. And it's my job to make sure it gets a chance to work. Not just because it's a good idea, but because it's the law.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
Life was so simple, and yet so rewarding for young Russell Porter. One of the wealthiest heiresses in the city of New York fell deeply in love with him. She not only has money, she is breathtakingly beautiful. So, suppose he did have to commit murder to protect his investment. Wasn't this worth it? And what could have gone wrong? He was so careful.
Sheriff Mabry, how can you say I killed Cora Jean?
It's the truth, Russ.
You don't have one single shred of proof.
Oh, there's plenty of proof.
Such as?
Well, for one thing, she was going to have a baby.
It wasn't mine, and no one can prove it.
She gave you that money.
No, wait. She may have taken it from the bank, but no one can prove that she gave it to me. As a matter of fact, that's why she might have been killed. Don't you see? For the money. $5,000 is a lot.
How would you know it was $5,000?
Oh, well... Well, she told me. She told me once. Yes, yes, that's what she had.
She came here to New York to see you.
But she wasn't killed in New York. She was killed way out in the country, halfway between...
Yeah, halfway between here and Benton's Corners.
Okay, all right. Well, so she was coming to New York for whatever reason. And someone killed her for the money.
No.
How can you say no?
Because she was coming from New York when she was killed.
How can you hope to prove it?
She was riding in a car with somebody.
Okay. Then that's the somebody who killed her.
She had already been to New York. She'd come here to see you. You said you'd take her home. You told her some kind of lie. You were bound back for Benton's Corners. And the reason I say that is her body was found on the north side of the road. That's the way you were headed. You wouldn't have killed her and then carried her across the highway to bury her.
Where is your proof for all this, Sheriff?
What kind of proof do I need?
Facts, evidence, witnesses.
Russell, you know you did it. Now it's up to you to do the manly thing and confess.
Oh, you're crazy.
Russell, I'm giving you a chance.
A chance?
A chance to know peace. You'll never have any as long as you live. You'll see her face. You'll hear her voice.
Sheriff, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. You are not going to railroad me for a murder I never committed.
Tell that to Cora Jean, Russ.
Cora Jean is dead.
You'll see her, Russ. Like I said, you'll see her and hear her. She was quite a girl, Russ. Why did you kill her?
But I didn't, Sheriff. I did...
It's
oh,
like
what's the
you
use?
Say, Russ, I don't have the evidence and the witnesses, but any time you want to come back and take your medicine, just give me a call, eh? Well, I gotta be going.
Think about it, Russ.
What was there to think about? Mayberry.
What did he know? What could he know? Nothing. He was only making some shrewd guesses. He had no evidence. He's trying to frighten me and get me to lose control. Well, I won't. I'm in the clear. I must not panic.
Russ? Russ?
What? What is it, Cora Jean?
After you went home last night, I wrote a poem. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
So quiet the night, so still the stars, so silent the world below.
Cora Jean. Cora Jean. Oh, it was a dream. Just a dream. Oh, for a moment I thought...
What did you think?
Cora Jean?
Yes, Russell?
Cora Jean, it can't be. I hear your voice.
Yes?
But you're dead. You're dead.
I always wanted you, Russell. Because you and I are so right for each other.
No. No, this is mad. This is mad. I'm dreaming.
No,
I'm dreaming.
Russell, you're awake. Let me read you the poem.
I don't want to hear it.
So quiet the night. So still the stars. So silent the world.
Shut up. I said shut up. I've got to get hold of myself. Got to keep tight control. Can't let my mind go. I know. I'm going to have a little trouble with my conscience. Now, that's to be expected. After all, murder. And that's what it was. Of course, I had no choice. I had to. All right, I'll have some bad nights. But it'll go away. The thing to remember is not to panic. Take a deep breath. Collect your thoughts and...
Russell.
Yes. Yes, Cora Jean. I'm ready for you. I can handle my conscience. I can handle you.
Children, excuse me, I have to mingle.
Yes, Daddy. Oh, how he'll ever top this, I don't know. There have been benefit performances and benefit performances, but never one like this. Are you enjoying the show, darling?
Oh, sure. Sure, of course.
It's just that you seem so distracted.
Do you think so?
Maybe I'm distracted.
By what?
Oh, that poem just keeps running through my head. So quiet the night, so still the stars.
Now, why should that poem...
I think of that poor murdered girl.
Darling, you can't let your mind dwell on morbid things.
Oh, you're right, you're right. But why can't I forget?
Look, the intermission's almost over. Let's go inside. Let's enjoy the play. It's really funny. Really funny.
Quiet the night, so still the stars...
Russell?
Yes?
I wrote a new poem. Do you want to hear it?
Of course, Cora Jean. I always want to hear you. No. No. This is the same dream.
Why do you say it's a dream?
Because
I'm dead?
You're dead. Yes. You are dead.
That doesn't matter. I don't have to be alive for you to hear me.
I won't crack. I won't. Cora Jean... What do you want?
I want you.
Hello.
Hello, Russ.
Sheriff Mayberry, do you know what time it is?
Just about midnight. I wanted to tell you I'm heading back home and wondered if you wanted to come with me.
Now, Sheriff, I... Look, whatever you're doing, it isn't going to work.
What is it you think I'm doing?
You're trying to destroy my mind.
No, Russ. I'm trying to appeal to your better nature. That's all.
All right. Whoever you are, whatever you are, regardless of what this is all about, I'm wise to it. I won't crack. I won't break down. And soon, all of this, whatever it is, will be gone.
So quiet the night, so still the stars, so so silent.
Go ahead, go ahead. It's all in my imagination. No. It's all in my imagination. Go ahead.
Russell, why didn't you tell me?
Tell you what, Sybil?
About the poem.
The poem?
Why didn't you tell me that... Well, the girl who wrote it comes from your hometown.
Oh.
Benton's Corners.
Well, it's just a coincidence.
And that you knew her. You knew her very well.
Oh, I wouldn't say I knew her very well.
But you must have. I'm so fascinated by that poem. I wanted to get a copy of the whole thing, and so, well, I called the newspaper editor in Benton's Corners.
Oh.
Such a nice lady. She talked to me for hours, and she said that the poem was printed originally in her paper and that the title was To Russell. You must have known her.
Well, yes, I knew her.
Were you in love with her?
In love?
You can tell me. It doesn't matter. It all belongs to the time before you met me. Were you in love with her?
No, no, but she was very romantic.
Well, tell me about her. What was she like?
Well, I don't know. She was just some girl. I'm sick of talking about her, Sybil, and that silly poem. Now, you remember you wanted a list from me.
A list?
Yes, of guests I wanted to have for the wedding, and I said I didn't want to. Well, you reminded me. The editor of the Benton's Corners Chronicle, the one you spoke to, she's a lovely lady. Margaret Hennings Witherspoon. I'd like to invite her. Sybil?
We'll talk about it, Russell.
Darling, are you all right?
Oh, well, I'm just a little bit tired. I'd better get to bed early.
Oh, Sybil, you're angry.
No, I'm not angry.
But I don't want to leave like this.
Like what?
Well, as if something's wrong. I mean, you're annoyed because I didn't want to talk about that silly poem.
I'm not.
I say you are.
Well, suppose I am.
Tell me why.
Well, that's just it. I don't know why. Oh, Russell, please, please, everything will be all right in the morning.
Could have kicked myself. It was that poem, that stupid bit of doggerel.
How quiet the night. How still the stars. How silent the world below. How mute the breeze. How calm the trees.
Cora Jean.
Why are you always so alarmed, so surprised to see me, Russell?
I don't believe it. I don't believe you're here.
You must believe it. I'm all you've got now.
Say what you like. I won't lose my grip.
Your grip? On what?
Reality.
Oh, what's reality? Reality is a girl named Sybil Malone. Forget she has $100 million. She's a girl of many moods. And she doesn't love you anymore.
That's a lie.
You mean it doesn't happen? Your own words, Russell. You fall in love, you fall out of love. You don't control it. She is all gossamer. And when you shouted, I'm sick of that silly poem, you broke the spell.
That's not true.
Oh, Russell, it's over. In your heart, you know it's over. You killed me for nothing.
No, no, I didn't kill you. You see, you're still alive.
You killed me, Russell.
I killed you, but you're not dead enough. I buried you, but not deep enough.
I'm dead, Russell.
No, you're alive. Still alive.
Hi, Russ.
Ah, Sheriff. Yes, yes. You're just the man I want to see.
You mean you want to come back with me?
I don't have to. You see, I didn't kill her.
Russ.
No, listen. You see, I'll admit it. I wanted to kill her. I drove her out to the spot, but I didn't hit her hard enough. She's still alive. Come on. I'll show you.
Sure, Russell, sure. I'll get that for you.
Yes, thank you.
Hello.
Oh, I wanted to speak to Russell. Who are you?
An old friend, ma'am. Just a minute. Russ? Russ? Hello, ma'am. I guess he can't talk right now. Can I take a message?
Well, just tell him that I was acting silly and that we should never part with a quarrel and that I love him very much and...
I'll tell him myself tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye, ma'am. Russ, that was...
So quiet the night.
It's Cora Jean. She's talking to us, reciting her poem.
So still the stars.
The poem she wrote for me. Don't you hear?
Sure. I hear.
How silent the world below.
Well, the world didn't remain silent when Russell confessed. There was a clamor for a trial, and there was a verdict, and Russell was declared hopelessly insane. However, Sybil stood by him. She visits him every day and recites poetry, most of it from an anthology of the poems of Cora Jean Buxton, who, as it turns out, has become quite famous in death. I'll be back shortly.
You give it everything that you can. It's a good feeling, a real good feeling, getting back what you've been putting in. Yes, it's a good feeling. What's a good feeling? When you're doing what you like to do. And it's a good feeling. What's a good feeling? When you're working just because you're you.
If you get the feeling that you've been discriminated against on the job because you're between age 40 and 65, call the folks at the nearest federal wage and hour office today. They're listed under U.S. Government, Department of Labor. This is Diana Trask, and this message has been brought to you as a public service by the U.S. Department of Labor and this station.
In the night, the voices in the night, the songs of the night. How can we hear, how can we see what isn't there? Well, it's a question that deserves to be raised, but it certainly should not be dismissed as the imaginings of the neurotic or the demented. After all, if you see what eludes me, who is to say which of us has the firmer grip on reality? Our cast included William Redfield, Patricia Elliott, Marion Seldes, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
What about the dame?
What dame?
You said there was a dame in the store.
Well, that's right, there was. I didn't spot her at first, but since she's seen the whole thing, I had to take care of her, too.
And you did?
I told you she's dead.
Well, that's what I told the boss last night. So this morning he wants to know, why don't it say nothing about her in the paper?
What do you mean? It's got to say, hand me that.
Go ahead, pal. Where does it say one word about the dame?
But I got her. I know I got her.
Then why wasn't it reported? They can't keep a thing like this out of the press. You missed her. That's what you did. You missed the clean.
No, I wasn't 10 feet away from her, and I don't miss. I could even hear her go, ugh, when them first bullets hit her. She's dead, I tell you, Chappie. She's dead.
Okay, Mule. Just answer me one question. Where's the body?
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
beautiful music. This is KIXI Seattle.
News. Fighting has eased off in Lebanon after a day of heavy shelling that caused heavy casualties among civilian victims. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS radio network. Two artillery shells burst in front of a crowded movie theater in Beirut, killing or wounding about 50 people. After the first shell hit, the audience went running into the street, only to have the second shell crash among them. A heavy artillery battle was reported between West Beirut and the Christian eastern sector of the city. In all, about 150 people were reported killed in Lebanon Sunday, close to 500 injured. There has been no political progress reported in efforts to find a nonviolent solution to the war. The right says there can be no negotiations before security has been restored. The left says that peace can only emerge from political change. Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat was in Damascus Sunday for consultations with Syrian President Hafez Assad. Arafat has objected to the manner in which Syria has intervened in a Lebanese conflict. President Ford is back in Washington after a weekend of hard campaigning in Michigan for the Tuesday primary. While in Saginaw, Mr. Ford told the voters he has done a good job and deserves to be elected.
When I was sworn in as your president, I said to the American people, our long national nightmare was over. And it is, my fellow Michiganders. In the last 21 months, we've dispelled the climate of darkness and despair that hung over this troubled nation, and we've let the sun shine in.
Senator Paul Laxalt, chairman of National Citizens for Ronald Reagan, said on NBC's Meet the Press, Reagan's nomination for the presidency would not divide the Republican Party, as some political figures predict. The convention is not as close as the Michigan primary, that's Tuesday, and Laxalt does not believe there will be a Reagan victory there. One supporter of Morris Udall for the Democratic presidential nomination doesn't have much faith in his candidate that he'll be able to make it. Chuck Krause has a report from station WEEI in Boston.
House Majority Leader Thomas Tip O'Neill says he agrees with those who see Jimmy Carter as a shoo-in for the Democratic nomination. In an interview just after receiving an honorary doctorate from Curry College, O'Neill foresaw a first ballot victory for the former Georgia governor.
It looks that way. There may be some favorite sons along the line, but even those candidates would ultimately go to Carter. They would vote probably, and then on the first ballot, then rise at the before the conclusion of the ballot to ask that change. I'd have to say it looks like Carter on the first ballot right now.
All that could upset Carter now, says O'Neill, would be a tactical error by Carter himself, something he does not think will happen. Chuck Krause for CBS News, Boston.
The Prime Minister of Rhodesia, Ian Smith, says Secretary of State Henry Kissinger is guilty of uninformed meddling in Rhodesian affairs. Kissinger has said that the U.S. supports a government by the black majority in Rhodesia. Smith says if Kissinger were better informed, he would know that any premature handover of power by the whites would swiftly lead to fighting between rival black factions. A member of the British Parliament, Gwilym Roberts, charges that Rhodesian agents are recruiting up to 300 mercenaries to fight black nationalist guerrillas in Rhodesia.
During the last week, there have been marked developments in the sense that forms have been issued by the Rhodesian government for would-be recruits in this country. And in fact, one of the recruits, at any rate, claims that he has actually had a medical examination for this purpose in this country. I have, in fact, put these reports to the Foreign Office, and they should be replying to me at the beginning of this coming week.
An earthquake of major proportions is reported to have occurred in the Soviet Union last night. The quake registered 7.2 on the Richter scale and centered in a sparsely populated desert region. Shattered windows in Vancouver are probably the only reminders of a moderate earthquake that hit southwest British Columbia and northwest Washington yesterday. Residents in Vancouver lost electric power for about 20 minutes. Now this.
Here's Mother Teresa of Calcutta, whose sisters work with the sick, the dying, and the destitute of the world.
In India, we are taking care of nearly 46,000 lepers. We are now in 54 cities in India. We go to the people. All our work is going to the people.
Mother Teresa's sisters take care of the crippled and the unwanted. They have feeding centers and more, much of it due to the generosity of the American people.
I'm happy to have this opportunity to personally thank the people of the United States because we have been able to feed so many, to take care of so many. For us, Catholic Relief Service, the people of United States have been the divine providence.
Catholic Relief Services continues to assist Mother Teresa and her workers. Support CRS along with the U.S. Catholic Conference Office of Migration and Refugees, as well as other distinguished works of the American bishops through the American Catholic Overseas Aid Appeal.
A federally financed survey shows that a lot of people in San Francisco live in the rear of their homes with the windows often closed and still can't sleep through the night. The problem is traffic noise. The survey, out of the University of California, notes that in some areas where streets are really busy, indoor conversations are hampered by the sound of cars and trucks outside. The survey indicates the noise problem may be driving people right out of the city in search of a quieter environment. Rita Sands, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time, 11:06.
From KIXI, it's bright and beautiful music, 24 hours a day.